All right, we are plugged in now. It's Sunday, the 19th of February, 2017. And as always, people can get this podcast over at thecrazfiles.com or crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Plenty going up there indeed. Lots of videos and all sorts of interesting articles and original articles as well. And lots of great comments going up. So a very interactive site, and people can enjoy it. And it links over to iTunes for the podcast as well. And also Facebook and Twitter. Getting active over on Twitter now. It's really cool. Put out short bursts of information for folks, and a lot of great people posting over there. And you can also check out opensourcetruth.com. And that should be it, but Don Fox is back with me today for a chat, and been a little while, but Don's been on with me many times. Actually, Don, I think you were one of the original guests that I had when Garth and I started way back, a few years back. So Don's, Garth was extremely interested in Don's work, so we had you on, and especially the 9/11 stuff. So Don's website is donaldfox at .wordpress.com. So people can, I'll put that link up today. That's exposing nuclear truth of 9/11, of course. So there's a ton and wealth of information going on there. And you'll also have the links up there, Don, to your appearances on this podcast with me, and whole lots of stuff. And you're also over at Twitter putting some stuff up with some other great folks over there. But we did a podcast, lots of podcasts with you on 9/11, on the JFK assassination, you know, the open genocide of white Western cultures and identity, a lot of that as well, and this kind of almost demonic presence that seems to be plaguing this planet, trying to suck everyone down the gurgler with it. And so we've been through a lot of info and a lot of heavy info, and we like to continue connecting the dots. And I know you do that on your website too. You have a lot of diverse information here that even though it's different, we're going to go through this stuff today with Trump and what's happening. You're on the ground there. As we mentioned, JFK, the plot, white genocide, 9/11, all this stuff. Even though it's a lot of different information, I feel like you're a researcher that's connecting all the dots here as you keep moving forward. So good to have you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Adam. It is good to be here.
A lot to talk about. Indeed, I've done a lot of shows building up to the elections in your country. I don't care too much about this country. We're a lost ship, my friend. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. I'm hoping for change here. I really am. But we just keep, can't get rid of these people. And, you know, I just don't think the Australian population are ready yet. But they will be. They will be when they start to suffer and lose things, you know. Big changes in the United States, and I found it very interesting and followed it, so I had some guests on and chatting a lot about that, because we have a lot of listeners in the US, almost every state over there, that follow this podcast, and I'm interested in what's going on with this whole Trump election, and as I said, you've got your boots on the ground. There's things I don't like about what Trump's doing. There's certain things that I'll go through with you, but there's a lot of great stuff happening as well, and it's very unique indeed. We were just talking before the podcast started. It's getting scary in Europe, and it's getting bloody scary in France. Really scary. It looks like one of those zombie apocalypse movies, you know, Walking Dead or something. It really does. That's, but I mean, that's a zombie movie. It's just a horror movie. But that, in the essence, that's kind of what we've been shown. It really is. That's what I think it means. All these zombie movies. It's apocalyptic zombie movie, and it's just horrible what's going on over there.
The 70 IQ Somalis are the zombie apocalypse. That's basically what they are. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They're like Merkel. Oh, they're going to come here and pay our pensions. Yeah, that's a load of bullshit. They can't do anything in an advanced economy. They can't contribute in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they're there to suck off the public and then wreck buildings. I mean, that's what we're seeing in France. Big riots there. The police can't control them.
What's going on there with the riots? What are they mainly protesting about?
Well, you know, the best I can make out of it is one of the black immigrants got a baton shoved up his rear end, and that's got them fighting mad. Now, it appears maybe it was another Arab that did it to him. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I have to dig into that more. But either way, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to get these guys to riot. You know, that's kind of their natural state. I mean, that's what
a lot of these people are, with their hoods and masks on, you know. A lot of troublemakers, it seems to me, causing trouble.
It's that religion of peace.
Yeah, it's
Islam. Yeah.
we talked about France. What a unique country and culture it truly is, on one of our last shows. And to see this, as I said, it's like a zombie apocalypse game or something. And it's like one of those movies you watch. It's just all on fire and violence and burning. And it's not the France that I grew up looking at, you know, and learning about. It's really, really, really crazy stuff to see this. And it's a scary sign. This is obviously intensifying. Anyone can see that. It seems to be just getting worse and worse, like a cancer. So I don't know. I can't sort of pinpoint where that's going to go there. But they let them in over too long, you know, like many countries there. And now it's biting them on the ass. Badly in that country. It's a real shame. It's a real shame. It seems like the police are struggling to get this in order.
It's an invasion, okay? It's an invasion, and it's the Gog and Magog war. This is what this is. I just picked up a PDF here a few days ago, and it's called The Camp of the Saints.
You sent me that via email, and I posted on crassfiles.com. It's quite long. I had to copy and paste it. I was like...
Yeah, I've started reading it. I haven't got all the way through it yet, but I mean, the part I've read is just...
It's amazing.
Yeah, this guy nailed it back in 1973. And it's... He was very, very close. Instead of Africa, he said it was the Indians coming over.
For our listeners who are not sure, it's called The Camp of the Saints by... Jean, is it? Or Jean
Raspail?
Raspail, yeah. I've also put the link up to Amazon to actually get the book. It was in 1973. He's a French novelist, wrote this. And he's talking about third world mass immigration to France and the West, leading to the destruction of Western civilization. So almost 40 years after the publication of that book, it's returned to the bestseller list in 2011. We're going back a little bit there as well. So yeah. People are reading it. The title is a reference to the Book of Revelations. So incredible that he did this back then. He's predicted this exact thing. Exactly. It's a big read. I'm getting through it. I may grab the book, actually, you know, for myself. It's quite an incredible thing.
Yeah, isn't it? I wanted to just start out with the first paragraph, okay, or so here. Okay, so originally published in French as Le Camp des Saints, 1973, and it says, in the reference to Revelation here, and when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison, okay, and I'm Christian Identist, so... We see that event as Satan being released from his prison. So that's, we see that as the emancipation of the Jews. And that was around the time of the French Revolution, maybe just slightly before then. So Satan will be released from his prison and will go forth and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Okay, so that little part there. And will go forth and deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth. Okay, so when the Bible talks about nations, they're talking about, you know, Israel, true Israel. So how can one little tiny country in the Middle East, how can that represent nations which are in the four corners of the earth? See, so that tells you that it's really what that represents is the white countries, Canada, U.S., Australia, New Zealand, you know, Europe, you know, Germany, France, England, you know, Norway, Sweden, You know, okay, so in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and will gather them together for the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So what are we seeing? We're seeing almost unlimited, you know, brown people, mud people, Africans, Latinos, mestizos, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, we're just getting flooded. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and encompassed the camp of the saints and the beloved city. So
that's Apocalypse 20.
Yeah, that's Revelation chapter 20. Here he calls it Apocalypse 20, which is apropos, because that's what this is the apocalypse.
And as I said, they're showing us this in these movies. They are in these Walking Dead movies, these zombie movies where there's just millions of zombies overtaking. I think it gets in your subconscious, and
you can't kill them. Yeah, you can't stop.
That's
them.
Right. It imprints it in. It gets it in, but everything they do, it's like they show you the truth, but they're deceiving as well, you know. And it's like they're showing you sort of what's being done or what's going to happen, but they're putting that zombie spin on it. So you're thinking that it's all just a game, or it's all just in movie land and fantasy world, but it's actually really happening. Indeed, it's very close. I mean, they look like zombies, you know, those hordes. They really do. And who knows what they're carrying, what diseases they have. This is all going unchecked. We're being shown this in slow motion.
Yeah, they show it to you, but they don't spell it out for you.
Well, you know, the Jewish Hollywood producers and in general, they show us it through these movies. Like, it's a great way to to plant the seed there with the population, because we watch this and we enjoy it. We just don't see what it really means. But as it's happening in slow motion, as I said, we're just not catching up.
We'll go forth and deceive the nations.
That's right.
Yeah. Just like it says. I mean, this is all... See, this... You know, when you first read this as a kid or maybe a teenager or whatever, you think of it happening one way as maybe... You know, the standard interpretation of this verse is that armies from Russia and Turkey are going to surround, you know, the outlaw Israeli state in Palestine with tanks and missiles and guns. But that's not what... That's not what it says here, though. When you look around, what's going on around you, what's going on in the news, and when you really break this down, it's describing exactly what we're seeing. There is no army surrounding Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, but we're getting flooded with zombies, and that's exactly what this describes.
It's a really scary scenario. I'd be absolutely... I don't know what they would do, what they're going to do in France. I'd move.
Well, this is the apocalypse. It really, truly is. So
you saw that in I don't know what year it was, in the UK, in London, with those riots, and they just went from door to door, you know, smashing, and, you know, that's going to start happening to people's houses. They're not going to be safe inside, you know, as it spreads. As it spreads out of control, you know, it's going to spread out of the cities, and it's going to go further as more of them come in, you know.
See, I've been reading another book I've been reading lately has been World Revolution by Nesta Webster. You can Google that and find the PDF out there for free. And it talks about Jews being behind all these revolutions. You know, the French Revolution is where they really started. So that's where we equate Satan being released from the pit. They got emancipated, and then immediately we saw the French Revolution. And the Protocols of Zion talks about that too. And then the next thing we see is the Russian Revolution, which there was no Russians in it. It was all Jews and hired mercenaries from various places. And then what do we get after that? We got World War One and World War Jew, as a lot of people call it. What was the net result of World War One and World War Two? It was the creation of the outlaw state in Palestine, Israel. After World War I, you get the Balfour Declaration, where Balfour declares, writes his little love letter to Lord Rothschild, bequeathing Palestine to the Jews. And then shortly after World War II ended, the UN resolution went into effect that made Israel a state.
That's right.
Yeah, so
I had put articles on those, World War I and II, the hands behind that.
Yeah, so since Satan has been released from the pit, it's been just an all-out assault on white Christian civilization. And it's not ceasing. It's now it's reaching the pitch. And it may have peaked. We may have hit peak Jew, as some of us call it. You know, because I don't know if you were around much in the 90s, but there was the thing, peak oil. Hey, we're going to run out of oil. Well, it makes sense we're going to run out of oil at some point, but does anybody know when that is? Well, the thought was oil production was going to peak like in 99 or 2000 or 2004 maybe. You know, here it is 2017 and gas is still pretty cheap, but there was apocalyptic scenarios back then. Hey, we're past peak oil. It's going to fall off. Oil production is going to fall off the cliff and we're all going to die. And the way the world is set up today, yeah, if oil production does fall off, we are going to die. But, you know, I don't know enough about world oil supplies to really sit here and say, hey, we're going to run out of oil on such and such date. But that was a big term back then, was peak oil. So another term we see in research is peak Jew. You know, when is Jewish power going to peak and start to decline? And we may be starting to see peak Jew. That's what I've been trying to tell people, because Trump has definitely got his he's got plenty of Jews in the administration. There's no doubt about that. One guy's got like a 20-minute YouTube clip, and I think 10 minutes of it is just naming off all the Jews in his campaign and the transition team and the administration. And, yeah, there's plenty of them. But when you look at it in the world today, okay, if you were going to run for president of the United States, what's the first thing you have to do? Well, it's raise money. Well, who's got the money? You know, Jews. They just do. They own the money supply, okay? So you either have to change the economic system, which is going to happen, and that's going to be the fall of Mystery Babylon, is when the Jewish economy collapses. But we're not quite there yet. So in this day and age, you have to get money from Jews. So doesn't matter who you are, that's where you're going. So you're going to get some Jews there. And then I was listening to Patrick Slattery this week, and the show is probably maybe a week old. I'm a little behind on my storm fronts, but he was talking about Trump's administration. Well, they've got Steve Mnuchin, in the Treasury Department, a bunch of other Goldman Sachs Jews here and there. And the point Slattery was making is, well, it's one thing to say, hey, I want to nominate, Adam and Garth for cabinet positions. But Trump can't just put people in there. They have to be confirmed by the Senate. So you have to nominate people. They're like, well, geez, these picks for the cabinet are awful. I mean, like, well, you can have your dream team of guys you want to put in there, but the Senate has to approve them as well. So, and who runs the Senate? Yeah, that's right, AIPAC, the Jews. So you can get away with a certain amount, but it's, your hands are going to be tied somewhat. But to me, the bigger test is what actual policies are we seeing? Okay, the protocols talks about Jews replacing all governments of the Goyim with a single world government, which means, in essence, no borders, open borders. And that's the policies we've been seeing. Globalism, just flood the countries. Blacks can go wherever they want. You can't stop them. They're just free to go anywhere and then get welfare checks or, whatever. So Trump, just by the mere fact of he's saying, hey, the United States has borders and people have to respect that, that flies in the face of the Jewish agenda. So if he was a total Jewish shill, there would not be, you know, this clampdown on illegal immigration. You know, Obama was a perfect example of somebody going along with the Jewish agenda on immigration.
That's right.
So I think with Trump here, we're starting to see maybe this flood is finally starting to slow down. So, Revelation chapter 20, obviously, you know, if that's true, and it certainly appears to be, we have to be getting close to the end. So if the battle of Gog and Magog is nearing the end, then there isn't much left in prophecy before the second advent of Christ. So we're looking at, you know, race war, which is going on now, which is really heating up. And now, as Trump's, you know, obviously Trump's immigration policies are not being well received south of the border. You know, there's massive protests on Thursday here. They had a day without immigrants. So a bunch of illegal aliens walked off the job and marched in the street, you know, saying, hey, you know, if we went back home, all these businesses would close. Well, and this, you know, yeah, well, businesses that employ you shouldn't be in business. You know, we could do fine without them. White people used to do all these jobs. Like, okay, well, back in the 80s, you know, I'm going to date myself a bit. I had restaurant jobs up the wazoo. You know, I cooked at all kinds of different places. You can't, everywhere you go now, when you look, it's like, I don't see any white guys cooking anymore, hardly. It's all Mexicans back there. You know, white guys used to do those jobs. I had restaurant jobs in the mid to late 80s. It was all white people in the kitchen and the wait staff.
It's
what? Yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm seeing it sort of here. A lot of the companies or bigger companies, you know, whether they're restaurants or supermarkets or whatever they are, they're getting so competitive now that they're making staff. You know, they're pushing staff to the limits for, you know, pretty reason, you know, I wouldn't say very good wages, making them do more, you know, while paying them less. And, you know, a lot of white people won't do that, you know, because they get angry at their boss or whatever and they leave. And the only ones who do it are Indians and these immigrants. You know, they don't seem to care. So you're getting a lot of these places filling up. And so you're getting bad work conditions, which is the fault of a lot of these companies, you know. And then you're getting, you know, these people who are coming in and only too eager to take the jobs, you know, for a few dollars an hour and work in these kitchens or supermarkets or places or wherever they work. A lot of the people are having enough with it and leaving, you know. And that's a shame as well that they've let that happen, because, you know, it should be a good system with high wages, good wages and good working conditions. And then a lot of white people would want to do it. But I'm seeing a decline in the working conditions. And, of course, these people are going to come in and take those jobs, you know. No one else wants to do it.
You know, okay, like, you know, back in the mid to late 80s, okay, when my first job at fast food, and I'm going to really date myself here now, I got paid
McDonald's.
You know, 1980. No, it was a Mexican place called Zantigo.
Don Fox working at Zantigo in the 80s.
Yes, yes. So everybody that thinks I'm on the government payroll, you know, I got. you have no idea.
Refried.
So I started out. I got hired. At $3.55 an hour. And then I'd been there, I think at 90 days, they bumped me up to $3.75 an hour. You know, this is 1986.
Jeez.
You know, March of 86 is when I started there. I got $3.55 an hour. You know, I was, of course, I was just finishing up high school. You know, so, you know, I was a high school kid. You know, and I did other jobs too. You know, I had, well, like, you know, the summer of 87, I had three jobs. I worked, you know, I did fast food. I did, I worked at a casino, and I think I was even doing, you know, I was doing some drywall sanding and some stuff too. You know, I mean, you basically had to work around the clock. Well, I mean, the point is that white people can do these jobs. We've done them before. And, you know, I've done plenty of manual labor in my life. And it's just now that, you know, A, my body's kind of broke down from doing all that stuff. But, you know, it just, all these jobs now go to immigrants that they get paid cash because they don't get paid benefits because they're all on welfare. So they get paid cash so they can show, hey, we don't have any income, when they're getting cash income, you know, and they live, you know, 12, 15, 20 of them to an apartment. You know, we're not designed to compete with that.
Some of them actually will run places as well and be supervisors and managers, and they treat their own people like dirt. We've had that here with these rogue taxi companies run by Indians, you know, and they treat their workers like garbage, but it's the Australian people who are racist, and it's got nothing to do with anyone. It's like they're doing things illegally, you know, they're bringing in people. I find that, you know, they bring their own people in, they pay them peanuts, they treat them like garbage, you know. And as I said, this is this decline in our working conditions and environments as well. This should never be happening. You know, you should have skilled, high-level working positions and good money and good pay, and these people should be very extremely screened for any job that they want. But, you know, what do you do?
See, you know, my argument is, okay, we don't need to import high-end people either. Okay, look, white people can do the manual labor jobs, and we can do the computer jobs too. I mean, who do you think invented the microprocessor? You know, who invented the computer?
But a manual job can be making shoes. In America or Australia, it can be making, phones. It can be making clothes. It can be making all sorts of things. And that can be a good job. Even if you're on an assembly line, it can be made to be a good job if you're treated well and paid at least decent. You know, and people can do that, and they like it. They work hard.
White people have assembled cars and all other manner of props. Yeah. Everything. Oh yeah, I worked on a printing press. Yeah, I worked. Yeah, so at one point I had a job. I worked overnights at the printing press. I did weekends at the casino, and then I picked up a few shifts at the restaurant here and there too.
It wasn't an Indian casino, was it?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
That is weird. I don't get that. Anyway, that's just me. No. I don't understand at all.
Well, I needed a new car, so I was saving up money for that. You know, I needed a car, and you know, Mom and Dad would let me use theirs while I was going back and forth to, you know, 14 jobs. And so that's what you did back then, though. You hustled and you worked around the clock, you know.
It's a very common thing to work when you're younger to save for a car, for your first car. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's usually a piece of a bomb falls apart, but it's your first car, you know, and you're pretty cool in that, yeah.
Well, my first car was an 81 Tercel. You know, it got decent gas mileage when it ran, but it didn't run all the time like you might want it to. So,
I was watching some 80s cop shows or movies the other week, and I was just noticing those amazing American cars that you saw in the 70s and 80s movies, you know, in the cop shows and different types of movies, those huge, beautiful American-made cars that people have now to collect. They're absolutely amazing compared to what you get now. Everything's so fancy. I mean, these new cars, you touch them and they fall, crumble. you know, you have an accident in a modern car, it's done. You know, you got to destroy them. But those beautiful cars they made there, we made them here too. All our car industry's now gone pretty much. But over there, they're very famous cars in the US, and so I can imagine growing up as a boy there would have been fun having those big giant cars to drive around and guzzle all the petrol. Guzzle around, yeah. Yeah, beautiful industry, all made by Americans, you know. Those cars, absolutely amazing.
we used to make the best cars on the planet.
Oh, and, yeah, you know, nice looking cars. They, you know.
I mean, who invented the automobile? I mean, come on. It was white people.
It's a shame.
And so now we get back to Trump. And like, well, part of the argument is, well, you can't deport all these people. Yeah, like we were discussing, who's going to do all these jobs? Well, you know, we can do them, all right? We used to do it, all right? And now, I mean, it's not 1986 anymore either, okay? It's 2017, all right? We have robots that can do some of this stuff. You know, I mean, you can run a whole – they've done it now. You can run a whole restaurant with robots. You don't need to import Mexicans to do the cooking. It's a little strange. I mean,
no, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, look, if push came to shove, you know, white people can figure it out, folks. We don't need you. You know, we don't need Pedro. Well, who's going to pick all the crops? Hey, you know what? In the United States, we used to have this thing called the family farm. Okay. That's right. Yeah, we had people that lived on a farm and they grew food. You know, now, are white people well-suited to the big agribusiness model that's in place today? No. But, you know, if we got rid of Monsanto and Cargill and all these behemoths, we could go back to the family farm that fed the whole world.
That's right.
I mean, white people are the best farmers on the planet. What's this? I don't want to hear any of this crap of white people can't grow food. Look at what they're doing in Africa, okay? South Africa, the white farmers grew all the food. Now they've been displaced. Now nobody's growing food. Same thing in Zimbabwe. You know, now they're starving.
That's right. Yeah. They're starving.
Yeah, they want the white farmers to come back.
But the white people need to kick themselves in the asses, Don. You know, they need to give themselves a wake-up call. Because I think they've become too complacent. You know, they don't need these Mexican servants. They don't need these people to cook them food. They need to get that survival instinct back and understand that they can do this for themselves, you know, and take it back.
You know, my main point here is with all this is that nobody voted for all these people to come here. This never got on the ballot. Hey, do you want to get flooded with low-wage mud people from the third world? That was never on the ballot. Nobody voted yes for that. You know, it was the corporations and it was traitors. And it was, again, the Jew that got the Immigration Act in 1965 passed, you know, Jacob Javits. And that opened the floodgates. And then once they started coming in, you know, they say that whites are still 70% of this country. But, you know, I was talking to my friend the other day and it's like, that can't be because, you know, everywhere you go now, white people are outnumbered in this country.
Yeah, I don't understand that figure.
You know? So back to Trump. He's talking about adding 5,000 people to immigration and natural, you know, the immigration ICE. And even 5,000 people is really, you know, drop in the bucket. You're going to need a lot more than that to deport everybody. So we had a report come out yesterday that they were discussing in the Trump administration of mobilizing 100,000 National Guard troops to round these people up. And
that's what needs to be done in Europe on a big scale.
Yeah. I mean, they said it's 100% false. There's no effort to use the National Guard. But it was a real memo. It didn't get very far up the food chain. But I think at some point, you're going to have to do something like that.
You can't live in a country illegally with no passport and stuff. That's abusive, you know? I mean, try and do that somewhere else. They can't just think that they're going to stay in the United States with no documents, you know, as well.
I mean, could you and me go to Mexico?
That's what I'm saying. Try it in other countries.
Yeah. Mexico, they will shove a baton up your ass.
See, there was an Australian guy. There was an Australian guy, Don, I heard, got put in prison in Dubai for swearing on the street.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, try and do this stuff over there. I mean, enough's enough. You know, I mean, it's now abusive. That's what it is, you know. Mexico should be looking after their own people. They've got enough space down there. They've got everything they need, you know.
They've got plenty of resources. I mean, they got more oil than we do.
They've got a huge tourism industry. You know,
yeah, they got great weather. I mean, you have great weather.
Got everything there. I mean, it is a beautiful place. I've not been there. I've been to South America, but I hear it's pretty magnificent down there. I mean, what the hell's why do they keep wanting to go across the border so much for?
Well, because, I mean, what, you know, really, when it boils down to it, what really makes a country? It's the people, okay? White people build civilization, okay? Because we're God's people. That's who we are.
That's true. I mean, you look at those countries, it's chicken feed, you know, and you go into the U.S. and you see these landmarks and these great bridges and these statues and places and harbors and, you know, this amazing architecture and this bustling cities and incredible things on offer to buy and do. It's pretty amazing. They want that. They obviously want it, you know. They want a piece of that too, you know. But hey, buddy, you didn't do any of this. You didn't help in build any of this. You just want to come in for free and eat, you know, at the table without contributing anything. And it's not fair.
Yeah, you know, somebody over at The Right Stuff did an article a few months ago, and they just took some raw numbers, you know, here's how many people get assistance. You know, here's how many blacks get assistance. Here's how many Latinos. Here's how many white people. They divided it all up. And, you know, here's what the government, here's how much people pay in, here's how much they get back. The average mestizo in this country costs us $7,700 a year, $7,700 a year. So they're minus almost $8,000 each mestizo person in this country costs the taxpayer almost $8,000. The average black person costs us $10,000. So the Bible describes these people as the palmer worm, the canker worm, the locust that come to eat out your substance. That's what they are. They destroy your country. You know, they go, well, they do all these jobs. Yeah, but at what cost? Low wages? I mean, but then you have to pay on the back end. Sure, they work for cheap, but the reason they're here is the benefits they don't have to pay for are like schools. Okay. Now, anytime you put a bunch of mestizos in your school, you know, the grades go down. We got to fix the educational system. Well, we're spending all this money. Yeah. You want to fix education? Get the Mexicans out of there. Get the blacks out of there. Test scores will miraculously go sky high. You know, I mean, there was a bunch of, The mestizo kids stayed home from school on the Day Without Immigrants protest. Like, some of the classrooms had, like, you know, there's like, I saw a picture of one. They normally had 28 students, and there's like 6 kids sitting in there. And all the chairs are up on desks, you know, because that's how many illegal aliens are in each class. And we've heard reports of some of the teachers going, wow, this is the best day of school ever, you know. The kids that were here wanted to learn. They listened. They paid attention. They sat in their chairs, you know.
Well, those schools over there have been turned into prisons. All these mixed races in there, and it's just how could you teach in places like that?
Don Advo talks about that the 1954 decision, Brown versus Board of Education, what that mandated was that schools could no longer be segregated. So basically what he talks about is white children being thrown into the shark tank with blacks and Mexicans and, you know, these violent creatures that really have no, you know, they're not on the same ability level as we are. And the judge's ruling was like, well, blacks can't get an education in a black school. So the presence of white children is needed to bring them up. Well, even with all that, you know, it's barely put a dent in poor black test scores. You know, they're still as low as they ever were for the most part. Trillions of dollars have been spent. Really, the net effect is it worsens the education for the white kids. What they don't talk about is how much would white kids really have achieved if they weren't stuck in school with all these, you know, these savages. You know, so a lot of families are like, hey, I don't want to send my kid to that school, so they end up moving. And it's expensive because now you got a farther commute to work, and you might have to pay for a private school. So you end up having to pay two tuitions. You got to pay one to the public school system that you won't use, you can't use, and you have to pay the private school tuition too.
Yeah.
So the cost of illegal immigration is ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's a small price to pay. If they said, hey, we're going to kick them all out, but everybody's got to pick up a few shifts at the restaurant a week, I think everybody would volunteer to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's going to take time.
Some of the places probably close, yeah, but you know, eventually we'll fill the vacuum and we'll straighten it out.
I was watching a news report on Trump and his promises there to help in Middle America that's just been devastated. You would know a lot about that. A lot of these mining places and places with coal and things in the U.S. that have just lost everything. And, you know, they showed these places, they're like ghost towns, these people stumbling around, and they're putting all their belief into Trump to bring life back to those towns to get the jobs going again. And one guy had a good point because he said, you know, it's been so long. I mean, these towns have been dying out like Detroit did for so long, you know, for so many decades now, that it's got to the point now where it's completely, you know, rusted and broken down. And he was saying, you know, the coal and everything's still here to be done again, but there's so much automation now, machines doing the work for the people, you know, and that's changed as well with the automation system, as we were talking about before. But I think it can be incorporated. I think you can pump life back into all these towns and houses and places in Middle America and get things functioning again using people and high-tech computer systems as well. Because you've got the resources, everything's there. It's just been forgotten about and left, you know, and that should never have happened. So I think if it's done right, these people can get their jobs and lives back again, you know, because it does. It is a devastating thing when you've got a town, say, for example, that might rely on a timber mill or something, you know, and it gets shut down, and all the people through the generations worked at that mill or coal place or wherever it might be that makes that town run. That's what you're losing. It's all being taken away, you know. But I think it'll be slow, but it absolutely can be done. And, you know, I've not heard a president like that come up and say he's going to do that. So that'll be really interesting to see. If that life can be injected back into Middle America and make it that great place again, full of, you know, just booming again, because it's ready to go, wouldn't you say? Or do you think are you seeing it too broken down and too far gone to ever be brought back?
Let's put it this way, okay? You know, 200 years ago, white people showed up on this continent with covered wagons and ox. And they basically did a slow march from the East Coast to the West Coast and built the country. Okay, can we rebuild it? There's no question that we can rebuild it. You know, is it going to take some time? Yeah. Can it be done? Yes. I mean, the first step in that whole process is you have to stop the invasion and you have to remove the invaders, okay? Everyone's like, well, no person's illegal. Well, okay.
That's bullshit. Yeah.
Could you imagine somebody standing on the beach at Normandy going, oh, hey, come on, you know, we're going to just let them in. We're not going to fight back. You know, that's in essence what this is. It's an invasion the same way. It's the same thing, you know. Yeah, it is absolute bullshit. You're right about that.
Trump's claiming priority for Americans first, work-wise,
yeah.
Which is a great plan. I mean, a lot of countries do that, you know, and I think in Singapore they're like that. The Singaporeans come first, you know. You find that in a lot of places, you know, and I think that's a good idea. I think American families should be offered that life back, and I think they definitely will take it. And once they start to, you know, money starts to come back into these towns, things start opening up again, shops start opening up again, it will work. But I think these American white families need to come first. And, you know, you're always going to have Mexicans in there and immigrants in there, but if they're prepared to live a family life and contribute and make that their home and do the right thing, I think that's okay. But the illegals and the troublemakers and the gangs and all of this needs to stop, and they need to, it needs to be taken out immediately. Well, and, but that's a good thing he's saying. I haven't heard that,
well,
you know, before, to bring, to make, you know, Americans first when it comes to work and all these things. At least he's saying it, you know?
Yeah, a couple of points. Thing. You bet. Yeah, like, okay, America first. Okay, there was a lot of angst over that phrase because it comes from Charles Lindbergh, an anti-Semite, you know, quote unquote. But then the, you know, the media here is taking a beating and they're getting mad about it.
Yeah,
Trump is doing an all-out assault.
It's great. That's my favorite part. I love it. I can't get enough of it. I love the media smackdown. I've been talking a lot about it. It is fantastic. We're not getting that here, but I hope it's coming. I love this. I hope he keeps doing it.
Well, they're absolutely liars.
They're
vicious. I mean, we all know that. Yeah, yes. Well, because they're Jews.
They're vicious.
Okay, so that's what you're going to get. Yeah, they're nasty, rotten, vicious Jews. So the media sucks. We all know this. If the media was great, there wouldn't be a need for a show like this, you know. They were doing their job, but they've got their own agenda, and we know what that is. It's the destruction of society.
They're traitors. They're the people's worst enemy.
But look,
I was saying the other week, Don. The media just don't like that they've been told, that they've been smacked down. They've had it so good for so long. They think they're king shit, you know?
They do.
Well, they think they're high and mighty. They think they write with God's pen, you know? That their news is the only news, and they've been smacked down. I said it's like taking down a child's pants and smacking their bum, you know? That's what they got. And they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. No.
Well, before everybody would roll over and play dead, you know, it was be like, oh, you called me a couple names, I'm going to fold up and I'll acquiesce. You know, Trump ain't like that. Trump is like, screw you. He's just going full steam ahead. And his base, which is just about, you know, a vast majority of the white people that are left in this country, don't give a shit if CNN thinks he's a racist, you know, or he's a white supremacist, or the ADL writes a nasty article about him, or the SPLC. You know, we're sick of these people. And, you know, another perspective on this, you know, I hearken back to my CI studies, that eventually what's going on here in the United States is this is the final gathering place of the children of Israel, you know, i.e. the white people. So all of, you know, the way we see this whole thing working out is all these other races have to go, and they are going. This is, you know, it looks, you know, here in 2017, it's like, well, you can't get rid of all these millions of people. Well, just watch. Let's see what happens. My prediction is, you know, the way I see it, that eventually all these people are going to be gone. Now, does that involve a race war, deportation, some kind of combination thereof? Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't predict the future, you know, on such and such date, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. But, you know, we know overall that eventually these people are going to be gone.
It doesn't need to be a race war. It shouldn't need to be violent. It should be just, look, you know. Well, we're trying to rebuild our country and start again and make it better, and there's the door.
Well, they're not going to go quietly into the night.
I know. So, they're trying to get rid of an embedded tick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the parasite, like, when, you know, they're not going to just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to quit sucking your blood and just go off into the distance. No, they're going to put up a fight. So that's what this is going to be. It really, if you read the Bible correctly, it basically, the whole book talks about, you know, especially at the end here, we're in the time of Jacob's trouble, is that it's basically us against all the other people. And that's what we see. All the other nations are, you know, eating out our substance. That's what's going on now. So eventually that's going to stop and these other people are going to go away. You know, how it all plays out, I'm not 100% sure.
It's so fundamentally unfair, you know. When you go over and look at the United Arab Emirates and look at Israel and look at a lot of these countries, what they're building for themselves, and how people will be shocked to see how wealthy they are and how perfect everything is. And they don't have that, you know. it's us that have been lumped with them, you know, and it's like we're the bad guys because we want to clean house and make our countries good, you know, and keep our identities, you know, and everything's like we're bad people because of that. But you go over there and have a look at these countries. A lot of them are looking after themselves first, you know, and it's amazing. It's like with all these, you know, invaders into Europe, you know, piling in there with Israel building a wall and, you know, the Arab Emirates having those maybe hundreds of thousands, I don't know, of those air-conditioned tents and, you know, not offering one place to any of these people that are over in that region anyway. Flooding over into Europe for absolutely no reason. It can only cause an absolute chaos and disaster, which it is, and they're not offering one spot for them. You know, everything maintains itself as being perfect over there. You know, it's Europe that has to cop them.
Yeah, there's these tent cities that are like in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, I've seen pictures. I think it's Saudi Arabia, or is it UEA, UAU, UAE, bleh. Sorry, it's getting late. I'm getting tired. But they're all these tents, yeah, like you say, air conditioned, they're all empty. You know, all the invaders are getting funneled into Europe, you know.
There we are. Yeah, Saudi Arabia has 100,000 air conditioned
tents
that house three in each. That was from InfoWars. That was the first one that comes up. But I was like you, I did see it, and I was thinking, oh my God. And these people. You know, it's a disaster for everyone, Don, in them being in Europe, because I was watching a show the other night where in parts of Europe now they're freezing to death, you know? And then you've got situation where no one wants them. You got the crime now. They're turning on each other. It's a disaster in Europe. It's a disaster for the countries there. There's rapes. There's carnage. There's chaos. And here you have all these, you know, 100,000 air-conditioned tents where they can be. Oh, this is huge. I'm looking at the picture now. It's absolutely massive.
Yeah, these massive tent cities,
Sprawling networks of high-quality tents located in the city of Mina, spread across 20 square kilometers in a valley.
Yeah, in a tent in Saudi Arabia, air-conditioned, that's not bad. You know, it's not like, hey, having to live in a tent in Minnesota in January, you know.
No,
you're not going to die. Yeah, you're living a pretty good life if you're a refugee. I mean, if these people were real, I mean, like, where have white people ever been to? When do we ever get to go somewhere? Hey, there's war and violence here. We got to run. No, we always have to stick around and fix it. You know, after 9/11, you didn't see a bunch of refugees leaving New York.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. These tents could shelter nearly 4 million Syrian refugees. Which was originally supposed to be about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, but you just had every Tom, Dick, and Harry just walking into Europe.
Because it's a planned invasion. It's the Kalergi plan.
That's right, but it was the manipulation as well to make white people look bad. Because, as I said, it was originally about looking after Syrian families, but it wasn't about them. It was about every bloody invader that you could possibly conjure up.
Yeah.
And because... You know, Europeans didn't want them in the country, and they said they spoke up about it. They were bad and evil people. Look what you're doing to these poor families. But it wasn't about them.
Well, and in all fairness, okay, what they call Syrian refugees, you know, there's only a few million people in Syria to begin with, and they didn't all leave. You know, there isn't 10 million Syrians in, you know, refugees. Okay, these are really from Nigeria, Somalia, Sudan. You know, that's where they're really coming from. You know, Libya was a good country until, you know, Obama went in there and Clinton and took out Gaddafi and wrecked the country, and now they're all flooding into Europe. See, Libya used to be a buffer zone because they would keep those sub-Saharans, they would keep them out of Libya, and they'd keep them out of Europe. You know, Gaddafi cared more about Europe than obviously Merkel does. I mean, our own leaders have betrayed us. That's been going on for a long time.
Amazing, yeah. And on top of this horrible mess that's been created, you know? How is it ever going to be cleaned up? And now look at France. It's just a nightmare.
It looks like it's impossible. But, you know, I'm telling you now that, and this is my friend was getting upset the other day. It's like, they're everywhere. We can't stop this. I'm like, but look, I think now the script is flipped. I think really, truly what I think is that, no, do I see Trump as a saint or a prophet? You know, no. But I think in a way he is doing God's work here by stopping the invasion now. I think this is going to be the end of it, I think, or it's the beginning of the end of the invasion. You know, it might take him a couple of years to clean up the mess, but I'm telling you, if we do a show in 2019, I think we're going to see a lot of progress being made.
He's definitely has the Jews in there because reading about Trump wants Jewish billionaire to vet spy agencies report intelligence of White House. Bannon Kushner associate Stephen A. Freinberg been considered to lead the review, so this is in intelligence there. But if the mass immigration, if this whole thing has been planned by the Zionist Jews, and Trump's clamping down on this by getting all these mestizos and people out of the country and bringing America first, you're wondering what kind of power struggle that will bring about, or what's going on internally there. That we're not seeing.
See, okay, that kind of harkens back to my point from earlier, is that maybe we've seen peak Jew, maybe because we kept seeing, you know, one thing on the campaign trail, I suppose in Australia you didn't see the daily headlines, but every time Trump would make some sort of pronouncement, you know, on, you know, like Mexicans are rapists, or, you know, we got to build a wall, like the media would be all agreement, okay, that's it for Trump, okay, he's done, no, that's the end of Trump, and then no, he'd go up in the polls, and then he'd say something else, and okay, that's it for Trump. He's disqualified now. He can't be president now. And, you know, the media's buried him like 52 times. Yet here he is. He's in the Oval Office. So I think it might be a case of where the Jews really did want to stop him, but they couldn't. You know, everyone's like, well, he's just a shill. You know, I don't think that, because he's not following their policies.
Well, they're not going to go away overnight. Well, no, they're not. Thinking they're just still there, but maybe we're seeing a bit of a shift here. But I did see Trump doing a speech the other day with Benjamin Netanyahu next to him.
Well, that was.
I mean, Netanyahu's even under investigation in Israel. I mean, this guy's demonic. I mean, I'm sort of wondering why he's even allowed in the U.S., but there he is. All the presidents and prime ministers in the world, you have Benjamin Netanyahu standing up there next to Trump, and I found that kind of disgusting. I don't even know why they've got him there. They're trying to cause trouble over Russia and all this stuff. You can see them in the media. They won't leave it alone. Russia, Russia, Russia. And I was just saying on a podcast the other week to Jim West, I'm noticing in Australia as well, whenever they talk about Trump, and this is on just general news stories, late line kind of programs, everything that I'm seeing, they're dissing the guy, absolutely attacking him in the media here, but the media is coming from U.S. reports, but they're bringing out all these former advisors to President George W. Bush. Have you been noticing that as well? They've got all these former Bush advisors talking about how bad Trump is for America. And he's taking you guys back into the Stone Ages. And every time I watch it, it's former advisor to President Bush, advisor to President, security advisor to President Bush. And I'm like, he's not even sure relevant anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure like David Gergen and all those folks, the relics from the past. And John McCain's over there now talking about how bad Trump is. I mean, John McCain is an all-out traitor. You know,
I wonder why he hasn't been shackled or arrested.
His dad was like the admiral or whatever when the USS Liberty thing went down. So being a traitor has been in John McCain's family for years and years and years.
And he doesn't mind, does he? He likes it.
McCain has like five houses. God. Somebody was saying, he's got five of the huge mansions or whatever. And he, you know, he's getting old and senile. He forget what house he stays in even. You know,
he'll have a nice, comfortable life into his grave, you know, paid for by the taxpayers, you know.
Well, that and our kosher friends from the desert, you know, they're shoveling a lot of money his way. I mean,
of course. Yeah. Soros, all these people, you know.
Yep.
A lot of money. Yeah.
I mean, you can just Google John McCain ISIS and you'll see pictures of him there. He was having lunch with ISIS. I mean, in Washington, they call ISIS John McCain's army.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny. I've always looked at in Washington and the corridors of power, this kind of fear going on there. And I sent you a great article from Rents. It's Does a Satanic Cult Rule the World? It was a great article.
Yeah, I was
article.
Reading that.
And it says here at the top, some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so persuasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Woodrow Wilson, The New Freedom, 1913. You know, and you wonder, you know, what is this presence in power there? You know, is Trump just another puppet for this presence? You know, as so many of us wake up, do they need to reinvent themselves to keep the manipulation game going? I don't know. Is he challenging this this presence? And is it a Jewish presence? You know, what is this satanic cable? It's very, very...
What is Satan? Okay, Satan, I mean, the word means adversary or the false accuser, okay? And in the biblical context, Satan is really the Jewish people as a whole. So, and Jews, as we know, basically what their religion is worshiping themselves, okay? So they're Satanists, okay? Satanism is Jewish.
This is also black magic, isn't it? All this kind of stuff.
All this crap. Yeah.
I notice a lot of Jews are these magicians as well, these famous magicians around the world. They've all got the black eyeliner and the black clothes on, and they're doing all these magic tricks. Maybe it is a form of black magic.
David Copperfield.
All of them. You have a look at it. All of these real dark guys that have got all the tattoos and the dark makeup, the dripping black makeup, and they're doing all this weird stuff on TV. They're all Jews. In the movie industry, they make this kind of stuff happen, you know, this magic happen. It's all about that. It seems to be all about that magic and numbers and trickery, you know. And you do hear about Lucifer being a trickster, you know, as well.
Well, go forth and deceive the nation.
Deceive. It's all about deception, isn't deception. It? You look this way and they've got you that way.
They
look that
way and they've got
they're taking your pockets out there. You know, they're sitting you down to watch this and something's going on behind your back and you look over there, there's another trick going on. They're very cunning and very good at what they do. Very good.
Well, see, that's it. You know, people, the average white guy over here thinks, well, nobody's that rotten and that devious. Well, yeah, they are. Because, see, the average white guy can't conceive that people would actually behave like this.
To so much trouble to scam.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Like, okay, we all know Jews can't be farmers, and I've read Jews talk about that, and like, well, the main thing is they're encouraged to not get into professions like that because Jews are parasites, and they need to leave. Like, if their scam gets caught or they find a new one, they have to pack up and move in a hurry to take advantage of the situation. They can't have, you know, a bunch of wheat and corn or whatever outgrowing in the field, and they have to wait for it to come in before they can move. You know, they have to be able to pack up and go. You know, they're nomadic. They're gypsies, you know. So the people, and there's another point that's key. The people of the Old Testament, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, you know, Noah, these are not Jewish people, okay? These were white people. They were it was a white agrarian society, a patriarchal society. Okay, and everything we see the Jews doing is trying to destroy a normal white patriarchal society. That's everything they do is geared around that. But they've stolen our identity so that look at how many stupid Christians send money to Israel and they think the Jews are God's chosen people.
I've met a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're really Satan. I mean, is Satan going to get up on TV and tell you that he's Satan? No, he's going to deceive you and tell you that he's God. How many Christians worship the Jew? And really worshiping the Jew is worshiping the devil.
I've met a lot, and they're actually really good people. They're sort of old school Christians. They're nice people, but they're obsessed with Israel. They think the sun shines over there, you know?
Well, see, they think that, you know, when something happens over in that outlaw state in Palestine, that that's going to bring Jesus back. And God actually hates Palestine. Okay, the true children of Israel were sent off into the Assyrian captivity. And now when we came out of that and we started marching, you know, God actually told him, hey, look, don't go there. I'll show you where to go. And he sent us to Europe. Okay, and we came up through the Caucasus, and that's why we're called Caucasians. Okay, that's where the Germans came from, and the French, the English, the Irish, the Scotch. These were all tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. So the Old Testament is not Jewish. Okay. Noah's son Shem wasn't a Jew. So the true Semite people are white Europeans. They're not Jews. But see, Jews use this stuff to get us to worship them. The two things they figured was religion and money. That's what they've used to deceive most of the public. And it's worked. I mean, we all worship the dollar, and the overwhelming amount of Christians worship the Jew.
It's amazing how it all seems to stem to Freemasonry.
Well, they created Freemasonry. Freemasonry is Jewish. I mean, it may have started out as like a trade union, but it got co-opted so quickly that for all intents and purposes, from a historical point of view, you can just basically say the Jews created Freemasonry.
So, yeah, this is a religion where they believe that Lucifer is the god of light and god of good.
Yeah, it's basically...
good, if you go to light and dark, good and
Freemasonry, it's basically Baal worship. Baal, Baal, however you want to pronounce that.
Amazing thing.
It's satanic.
Hmm.
I mean, the Freemasons, that's where the Hasla, that's how the French Revolution got organized. It wasn't the French peasants that decided one day, hey, we got to go chop the king's head off. No, it was Jews and Freemasons.
That's right. Yeah, I was just looking at some stuff on, Germany and what was done there in the World War II and the bombing of Dresden.
Yep.
And just these piles of flesh and bodies. So they talk about that a lot, all these world wars and the death, you know. And it's just horrid. So you see that.
The real tribe of Judah is basically the modern version. That's the Germans today. And this is what the Edomite Jews, they infiltrated the tribe of Judah. And they've been trying, what they're trying to do is replace the real tribe of Judah with these imposters and fakes. So
it wasn't even words for what was done to Germany.
Yeah, the firebombing of Dresden, the rape, the pillage. You know, and Hitler saw all that coming. And not only did he see that coming, he said, hey, look, if we don't win, they're going to kill all the white people. And, well, look where we are, you know.
Now.
Yeah, here we are 80 years later.
So.
And we're on the brink of extinction.
Yeah, it's a different attack now. So breeding out.
Yeah, it's a flood.
Just pushing aside.
Yep, it's ethnic cleansing on a mass scale.
Yeah.
That's the Jewish agenda. Now, look.
Like
the
pouring
Bible
gasoline in a clean pond of water.
Yeah.
Just nonstop, you know?
No, we do know how the movie ends. The Bible describes that Christ will come back and kill all of his enemies, and that's all the non-white races. And we will be victorious. But, you know, the question we keep hearing is, how bad is it going to have to get before it really turns around? My suspicion is that the turnaround process has started. Now, it's got a long way to go, but I think it's starting now here in the U.S.
That would be a good sign. Something.
Wouldn't it? You know, I mean,
take what we could get.
So I guess the real question with Trump is, okay, is he the true turnaround? Because the book of Revelation, after the Battle of Gog and Magog, it says that, and God sent fire down from heaven and devoured them. So Is that now? Is this the start of that? It could be, or is Trump, is this like a start and a stop and Trump gets crushed? And then it kicks the can down the road and the invasion continues for a while. We don't know how this is going to turn out, so.
Wondering if they'll get him legally on something,
Well, he's...
You wonder if he'll last the term.
The full term? Yeah. Well, I think he's smart enough. He's got enough...
Seems to be.
And plus, he's got a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, so...
I think more it's the media. We were talking about that, when they came out and accused him of the sexual stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
When that happens, you didn't believe that's the end of him. I mean, when the media generally come out and accuse of things like that, anything sexually related, they just try and work out how they can fix it all up, and then it just goes down from there. But he just comes out over the top again, becomes more popular, so it's incredible to see.
Well, Trump's not going to get impeached as long as there's a Republican majority in the House and Senate.
Hmm.
Unless all the Republicans turn on him, which, it could happen, but I think Trump does have quite a bit of public support here, and the stuff he's going for, the rank-and-file Republican senator at this point is going to have a tough time coming out and openly revolting against Trump because they're going to lose public support. So at least for right now, the opposition is kind of paralyzed. They don't know what to do. So Trump is taking advantage of that. And like it's like a panzer attack. He's hitting him with executive orders on all levels, immigration and trade. And the media has a hard time coalescing against any one thing.
They don't know what he's going to do.
Because
he's so erratic, the way he speaks to them as well, it's really a unique thing to watch. When he has these press conferences, it's completely unique. They don't know where he's going to go.
No.
And
he just basically gets up there and goes, "You guys suck."
He says the classic. He did it again the other day. It was just this bizarre press conference with the media again and these stubborn reporters, that are trying to cause trouble in there, but it's almost like a cartoon the way he is.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre to watch. And politicians here in other countries, they don't know where to go. They just, one of the Trump advisors said, "The best advice I can give you is just strap yourself in." Strap yourselves in, put your belts on for the ride, because this is going to be, crazy ride.
It has certainly been entertaining.
So, yeah.
Before it was always the same old. You knew there was no fight because we knew we were always going to lose. But now we've at least got a puncher's chance here, and we're going to see where this thing goes. But I think, people have talked about, okay, are they going to assassinate Trump? Well, I do the JFK show every week. Okay, we're breaking down that thing in minute detail, and everybody can. Yeah, I'll put a plug in for that. You can check that on YouTube. It's free. You can type in the new JFK show, or type in Gary King. He's our producer, JFK. It's on Gary King's YouTube channel. You can see all the JFK shows there, and we do about an hour each week on it. And we've broken that assassination down pretty good. So, they know we know how that works. I don't think you're going to see, if they were to take him out, I don't think you'll see a public execution of Trump. I think it would be more like they did with FDR, and it would be they would poison him.
Mm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But
cancer weapons.
It would be something like that. You're not going to see him. Obviously, there isn't going to be an open top limo going down the street at 11 miles an hour in 2017. Trump has seen that movie, so he's not going to fall for that one.
Mm.
They're not going to be able to do a JFK to him, but they got their ways. A plane crash. Even those now. Air Force One is got to be the most well-maintained plane on the planet. So that would be highly suspicious if something were to happen to him. So I don't think, and he is 70 years old. So you remember, they took out Kennedy because he was young. He was under 50 when he got into office. So they were worried about a Kennedy dynasty. And here with Trump, maybe they're, you know, maybe the couple of things could be happening on the opposition side. Either, you know, maybe we've hit peak Jew, and maybe now they're losing some power, and they can't. They've thrown everything at him they could, and they couldn't stop him. Or they might be just saying, hey, we've tried our usual tricks, and none of that stuff worked. You know, he's 70 years old. Maybe we just wait him out, and maybe we'll just make sure he doesn't get reelected. And they're just going to try to weather the storm for 3-4 years here.
Mm. Yeah, interesting.
You know, I mean, you know, again, I can't predict the future, but, you know, these are the kind of the thoughts that go through my head, you know. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Mm.
My gut feeling is, and, you know, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I think this is actually, you know, the turnaround. So we'll see what happens, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to fix Europe next, and I think eventually Australia, too.
What do you think about the infrastructure over there in your country?
Needs a lot of work. I mean,
they're going to do that?
Yeah,
put money back in?
There's already plans for that behind the scenes. They're not as high publicity as the, you know, the immigration stuff. And really, to me, okay, if I were king, and I took over for a day, really the first priority has got to be to stop the invasion. You know, I mean, you can't build a city while you're getting invaded. You know, it doesn't work. So the first thing you have to do is remove the invaders. Once that's done, then you can start working on roads and bridges and schools.
Worries me how this black force that we mentioned before, what they may do in desperate lash-out behavior to maintain controls. Just looking at an article and Bill Gates warning about potential deadly worldwide epidemics happening at the hands of terrorists employing biotechnology for an attack. And you think, you know, could they lash out and do something like that, you know?
Well, they could. I mean, they're
just poison so many people, you know?
I mean, they're capable of anything. There's nothing that, you know, they wouldn't stoop to. The only reason they don't do something is because they don't think they can get away with it. You know? There's no moral qualms about, you know, about any of this stuff.
You know, that desperate behavior to maintain control. It's a worry, thinking as so many people wake up and get clued on here and want to fix things, you wonder what kind of desperate behavior they'll resort to bring things back into that state of fear, you know, because that's how they run things and always have. Lies, fear. You know,
it is. Yeah. Here's one of my favorite, favorite quote unquote protocols. So here's Protocols of Zion, protocol number 9, Jewish superstate, you know, paragraph 4. It is from us that the all engulfing terror proceeds. We have in our service persons of all opinions, of all doctrines, restorating monarchists, demagogues, socialists, communists, and utopian dreamers of every kind. We have harnessed them all to the task. Each one of them on his own account is boring away at the last remnants of authority, is striving to overthrow all established form of order. By these acts, the states are in torture. They exhort to tranquility, ready to sacrifice everything for peace. But we will not give them peace until they openly acknowledge our international supergovernment and with submissiveness. So there really is no making peace with these people. They must be defeated. And the Bible talks about, you know, Esau. There will be none left in the house of Esau. So they will be destroyed. But it's just when. How long do we have to put up with it?
That's right.
The destruction of the Jews is a given. It's just when is it going to happen?
Well, yeah, that's right. If you look at your country, you know, when is it going to stop? It's pretty obvious. Things are rotten, you know. And it's got from bad to worse, you know. I mean, anyone can see it. There has to be change. There had to be.
Yeah. And, you know,
you can't go on like that. And you can't just keep bringing them in on top of that while everything rots and corrodes underneath.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Merkel in Germany. You know, she's like, they're getting ready to throw her out. And she's like, well, we need more. We need, one day she'll say, well, we're going to send them back. And the next day, well, we need more Islam. You know, we need more Islamic immigrants.
I saw an article over there. It was just ridiculous. They're talking about somewhere in Europe where they're going to fit all these migrants who are committing all these crimes with the tracking bracelets on them. And I'm like, well, what does that do? putting tracking bracelets on them?
Yeah.
When they shouldn't be there. I mean, that's just a waste of money. What are you going to do that for? And they're going on with all this stuff that they're going to do. Now they're going to start looking at cracking down. You know, with those people running wild.
I know, it's just starting to occur to them.
It's like you let them all in, you know, and now you're going to fit them with bracelets to monitor them. And they're raping and killing people.
Yeah, we're going to put an ID tracking bracelet on a rape, pillage, murder guy. You know,
it's just ridiculous. They need to be gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Immediately. There isn't any other answer. And I think that should be, in all our countries, that should be. There's people that want that here. You commit a serious crime, you're gone.
We have a company here called LifeLock. You know, and I obviously I'm not paid by them to be a spokesman, but they have a TV commercial where, they talk about what they're in the business of. Like, say, you know, your identity gets stolen, they'll help you straighten out the identity theft mess and all that. And well, one of their commercials is they've got this security guard in a bank, and there's a bank robbery going on, and he's like, "Oh, I don't actually stop a robbery. I just alert you to the fact that there is a robbery." And then he turns around, all the people are on the floor, and he's like, "You're being robbed." You know, I mean, that's like the equivalent of this bracelet.
It's so stupid. Oh. It's like letting a burglar in your house to rape your wife and trash your house and steal everything and offering him a sandwich and a drink.
Yeah, we'll put an RFID chip on him or something, and we'll know where he is. Yeah. You're not going to stop him doing anything, but you know where he is, you know.
Yeah, I keep hearing how they're going to investigate and how they're keeping a close eye on everything, and they're robbing and raping and pillaging. They're taking and not putting back. They're terrorizing. And,
that's what they're here to do is to...
Yeah. There is no monitoring. There is no tracking. There is no conversation. Round them up and get them out now. Start the process. It's going to be long and it's going to be expensive. I would even say for countries like Sweden and Germany, which they do here to pay for things, is put in another tax. Because if you're a white person living in these countries, would you pay an extra few dollars of tax in your wages to help pay to get all these people rounded up and sent back?
That would sail right through if somebody were to put that on the ballot.
If a politician came out and did that, said, you know, we're going to put a tax in to get this job done because it's out of control. It's going to be an expensive process. It should never have happened in the first place. You know, when you get sick and you got to go to hospital and have operations and get better and all that, you know, it's not free. And so the countries are sick. And I think a way to do that, to cough it up, would be to put a tax on the people. And then they would feel like they were contributing to fix this mess up.
Problem.
And it would raise a lot of money.
Here we could call it, you know, either, you know, getting rid of Muslims, we call that kebab removal, or, you know, getting rid of mestizo Mexicans, that's beaner removal. So we call those people beaners. So, you know, you could put that on the ballot. Do you want to have a kebab / beaner removal tax? Yeah, I think people would vote for that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Remove kebab? Yeah, check. Remove beaner? Check.
Wow. Yeah, it's got to be paid for. They may need commercial airlines to ship them out. Or other forms of transport, which are going to need to be paid for and fueled. It's all needs to be set up, but they have to be taken back out and transferred. The paperwork has to be done. It's just like coming in like they did, just unattended.
I even told one black kid I was debating a couple of years ago, I think it was on when the Stormer had its old comment system, I was registered there, and I said, "Yeah, you guys are going back too." And he's like, "No, we're not going anywhere." I'm like, "Hey, you know what? I mean, there's a bunch of cruise ships, I think, that are sitting empty because the cruise industry is taking a bit of a hit. And I mean, I'm all for it. You could repurpose those. I don't care. Put them on a cruise ship, you know. Just put them on there and give them a one-way ticket.
That's the thing. You know, as I was saying, it's almost like letting in a whole football crowd going to a gridiron match or something, you know, like thousands of people. It's like letting them just all at once through the gates, and then when they come back out, you've got to tag each one of them, you know. That's what it's going to be like. It's just had this massive invasion, completely unchecked. Then now they're in, but that's got to be taken care of, and they're got to be taken out. But it's going to need to, as I said, there's going to be paperwork there. It's going to be slow, but at least start now. Start the process. You know, in years it'll be different.
Would you take the front door off your house and then just let people in? You know, and I got to buy more food because these people showed up. You know,
got to go to the shops and feed them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I need to get another job so I can pay for this.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
It's going to break the spine, the country, you know. But as I said, it's easy to let them in, but it's going to be hard to get them out, you know, and that's going to require money. Well,
yeah, but the good news is that, you know, if I'm right and I'm reading the scripture right, it's going to happen, okay? They're going to go.
I think Trump has a plan. And that's what you've seen all along. It's a plan in motion. And, you know, and that's going forward. It's not, he's not just coming up with it crazy and then nothing happens. No. It seems like a plan. And he's sticking to it. So there you go.
Yeah, he was at the press conference the other day. And he's like, everybody's shocked. I missed. He said, this is what I talked about on the campaign trail, you know. This is what I ran on. This should not be a surprise.
It's amazing. I think Obama bombed these countries over there in the Middle East more than any other president in United States history. I mean, how many bombs have they dropped on them? How much war have they executed? How much has that cost the U.S.? But Trump's, you know, he hasn't offended anyone. He hasn't blown up anyone or dropped any bombs on anyone. He's just simply saying we're going to clean house and lock the borders off. But he's this evil guy now, you know. But
Obama's
a hero.
More, yeah.
You know, it's
amazing. Who hates Muslims more, Trump or Obama? Yeah.
Obama's been treated like a hero, like he was the great guy in all this, and he wasn't at all. He bombed the hell out of these people and families.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Trump's not bombing Muslims. He just wants them to go live in their own country.
He's shutting the doors and cleaning house.
Yeah.
You know,
but Obama would bomb them, and then the ones that were left, he'd invite them over.
Yeah. Oh, a really smug way he portrays himself as
this
legend, and he's not going to go away. He seems to be hanging around the background, you know?
Like the people that want the invasion are like, they've got some high moral ground for allowing this. Well, you know, all these Catholic Charities does a lot of this. Okay. Catholic Charities is anti-Christ. Okay, you're not supposed to, I mean, Christians, white people are supposed to be a separate and holy people under God. We're not supposed to live with these people. So by inviting them over, you are in direct defiance of God and his law.
Yeah, it's against that. It's against natural law as well, which is the same thing, but you know.
To me, Catholicism is Judaism at this point, especially since Vatican II. I mean, you know, Catholicism sure had its problems before Vatican II, but, you know, whatever was left of it's gone now. You know, this worshiping the Pope's washing the feet of these invaders, you know, in Europe. I mean, that's disgusting.
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, he might as well be a rabbi, you know.
God. Washing their feet.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
it's deception from Satan. That's what that is.
It's just a display of utter weakness as well. And you know, this people are
traitors. Yeah,
they just look at these idiots. They're washing our feet.
Yeah, treachery, weakness. You know, disgusting.
Invading a whole continent and raping their women. You know, and trashing their whole house, smashing and grabbing everything with utter discontent and disrespect, and then having these popes wash their feet for it. Come in and rape our women and kill us, you know, kill and rape our women, destroy our whole way of life and a whole cultural identity, and we'll send this pedophile pope out to wash your feet. My yep. God. What burn have we city. Become?
Yeah, burn my city down.
And he's supposed to represent Europe, this guy.
I know.
That is a disgusting display.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, he's going to have a price to pay for that.
God damn. Yeah. I shouldn't say God damn, should I? Because you're...
No, you're fine.
I have to be careful.
I'm working on it. I cuss and swear. But
some people talk about my language. I understand.
I'm not too far removed. I try not to swear on the podcast.
I do as well. I understand. I will just say that to people. Yeah, it doesn't give us a good look. I don't mean it.
I've got it limited now, mostly when I'm driving. Yeah. Nobody can.
I know.
That's when I tend to let it out.
I get a bit passionate. That's all. A bit cranky and passionate, and that's when I swear a little bit. You know,
me too.
I just got so much blood pumping and emotions running around with things.
To do these podcasts, obviously there has to be something driving you to do it, so you have to be passionate about it, and sometimes that overflows a bit, and you do cuss and swear when stuff upsets you. I mean, look, if you were totally content and satisfied with the state of the world, you wouldn't do a show like this. So
wouldn't have to, and that would be good.
I'd love to hang this up. I still do 9/11 Truth, and I'm not as hard at it as I was a couple of years ago, but, I'm still lurking around there, and don't be surprised if you don't hear more on that front in the near future. But
absolutely, yeah. Is there any more information coming to light that you've been working on?
I get rumblings here and there. It's just, with this invasion, as much as I hate to admit it, 9/11 is basically a historical event at this point. We're 16 years past it now, and what's at hand now is the survival of my people. So
yes.
That takes precedence. But 9/11 is definitely a part of that. It's all the same people behind this stuff. 9/11, JFK, all this.
It's horrible. We have a TV network in Australia called SBS. It's a multicultural channel and anti-white Australian. And they actually had last week a racism week. And all these shows pointing out how racist white Australians are, when white Australians have done nothing but being accepting, these people and open-hearted and letting these people in. And, these stations, these TV networks can be so conniving and backstabbing is really
course.
Disgusting.
They're all run by Jews, but think about how ridiculous. Yeah, that's what it is. Think how ridiculous that is on its face. Okay, we built buildings, houses, roads, bridges, computers, smartphones. We all invite you over. We give you a free Obama phone. If people remember that clip from a few years ago. And, you get free EBT, Obama phone, probably an iPhone or an Android, nice new device. And yet we're racist and nasty and mean.
I'm hoping that this same media rhetoric, this same lie, that because they don't have anything else. They don't have anywhere else to go, and I'm thinking with Trump, this is going to run its course. And then you're seeing now that I'm seeing in Australia, because this is having a, this is echoing here as well. I think I asked this question: are they going to get their house in order, the media? Are they going to get their house in order and say, we've done the wrong thing, let's clean our act up to get back some respect from the readers? Because they're losing so many readers and so much respect, We said these newspapers used to be huge, and now they're small, and they're trying to get any online content and money they can as they just go down and down. But they're not. They're just lashing out and becoming more nasty. And I'm thinking, how much more can they bring out the racism thing and keep bringing up this stuff? Because people are just shaking their heads now and saying, we've heard this all before. You've slapped this donkey too much.
Am I going to pay $5 or $6 for an edition of the New York Times to get called a racist?
Yeah, it's been going on and on,
Pardon my French, but, fuck you, I'm not going to buy your damn newspaper to get called names. You know, and see, that's see, I listened to Stormfront. Don Advo talks about how the Los Angeles Times, which was once this huge paper, is now basically teetering on bankruptcy because they're an English newspaper and they cheerlead the invasion of Spanish people. And do you think these mestizos are buying the Los Angeles Times? No. So the LA Times is actively engaged in the destruction of their own consumer base. So that's why they're dying. And the New York Times, the same thing.
They've got their own, well, you know, white Americans or Australians, mate, you see over there in the US, you know, up there reporting just so vicious and nasty, on the attack, you know, willing to sell their own people out and their own culture and themselves out for these nasty papers who are obviously putting the pressure down on these people to just report in a more nasty manner as the ship sinks, you know?
Yeah. The New York Times is losing so much money now. They're vacating like 8 floors in their own building and they're going to rent them out.
Yeah, can't be good working in there either with the pressure and to perform And as I said, it just gets nastier and uglier as it goes down. But we have to let it go down, you know. And I did notice that Trump's been associating with newer identities coming through in regards to the press. So this could be a change as well, as you see more alternative outlets that were much smaller and that were being dominated before by these big, press outputs that they might start to come through and have a say. And we might get a bit of a change in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. White identity is starting to emerge now. Okay. We haven't seen this before. Like, okay, so for the last 50 years, white people in this country have been guilt-ridden. We've paid trillions of dollars to the black community in hoping to better their circumstances. And it's in reality gotten worse. They've destroyed Detroit and Baltimore. And these blacks have been here for hundreds of years. Okay, and they're like, well, we were slaves. Well, what do you think the Irish were? You know, slaves actually had a guaranteed roof over their head. You know, a lot of Irish people that came over on the boat, a lot of, I'm part Irish, they starved to death. Mm. You know, they got worked. They did crappier jobs than the black people did because they actually had to pay the black people to come over, whereas white people had to pay their own way or go into indentured servitude to pay for the trip over. And we still ended up building this country. Now, blacks have not ever built anything anywhere. There's no advanced black society.
No, it's amazing.
And when they take over a formerly white city, it collapses. They can't keep the infrastructure up. They can't keep the water treatment. That's with Flint, Michigan. That's what's going on there now. The water is unsafe to drink because it's all black people running the city and running the treatment plant.
Yep, that's right.
They can't keep the electricity on.
They just want the entertainment, you know. They just want the entertainment, and yeah. You know, but well, they don't understand what runs all of that—the lights, you know, the waste. I mean, you know, and everything.
Eventually we see the EBT card. You know, EBT for, you know, people not in the United States. It's electronic benefit transfer. So instead of getting mailed a welfare check, they just electronically deposit the money in your account and you have a basically like a credit card. So eventually, see, if it wasn't for that, there'd be a lot more social unrest than what there is. See, eventually that's going to get turned off. They're going to turn off the EBT cards at some point. I think that's when it's really going to hit the fan.
Hmm.
You know, either the economy collapses or something's going to happen to trigger that. And when that happens, then you're not going to want to live in the inner city around here.
No. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Well, that was interesting chat as usual with you, and we better plug out.
Yeah, I think I can hear a little voice in the background there.
Yeah, we went over, but good. It's good to break down this. I've been doing a few of these shows lately. We tend to sometimes with 9/11 that just focus on the one thing, but it's good to break down all this stuff anyway. Because each week things are changing, definitely in your country. So we get a more of an idea of what's happening.
I hope to leave people with a little bit of hope anyway.
That's what we need. Yeah, being negative doesn't help. I guess it needs to stay positive. Yeah.
I've done quite a few of these podcasts. Now, I never go out of my way to be negative just to get listeners or whatever, or to scare the crap out of people. You know, I don't sell anything. It's like, I'll scare the crap out of you and then sell you storable food. You know, I don't sell storable food or gold or any of that garbage.
Well, fear sells as well.
Yeah. But, you know, really what I try to do is just, this is what I see, and I'm communicating that to my people.
I'm the same. I've said this many times, I do a lot of podcasts, sometimes to do with books or dense material, but I put up a lot of stuff on my website, of course, and I never get to go through a lot of it to break down the media spin and dissect things and discuss things. So it's good to get guests on like you as well. You know, Jim as well had on last week to just break stuff down that's happening over there. You know,
so we're the United States. We're kind of the trendsetters here, and then I think it branches out to the other.
It does here for sure.
So hopefully we'll bring Australia and Europe back with us.
Yeah. No, it has ramifications for us. Believe me, big time. It's got our boys here in a tailspin because they're just they're utter trolls. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our government, they're pathetic. And our Prime Minister here, he's a waste of space. He's a waste of space, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do.
You know, I've seen a few of his speeches on YouTube.
He's pathetic, you know. Yeah. He's a clown. Malcolm Turnbull.
Yep.
He's a rich boy. You know? And, only a small peanut compared to Trump and that. But, with Obama, they had this nice, comfy relationship, you know. But as I said, I'm watching a lot of shows politically in Australia on Australia's relationship with the US, and they kind of don't know what to do. They don't know how to read him or what's going to happen or what he does there, what the implications are going to be for us with these changes, as well.
I've seen comments in Europe, you know, just to kind of wrap things up, you know, that there's a lot of politicians in Europe now calling for Trump-style limits on immigration. So it's a talking point over there. So that's how it starts. You
know? There was some guy, it was in the news here, he's a Muslim or from a Muslim country. I'm just guessing, it was in the news the other week, and he was born in Australia, and he was wanted to travel for the US, to the US, for something to do with school or university, and they blocked him. He got blocked. And there was a big drama about it. So now he's able to go. But he seems like a nice kid. He seemed like a nice kid, but you know, that's how strict it's getting. And it's like that here a bit too. It needs to be that way. I don't think the media spin's going to work with people, in this day and age, trying to demonize Trump because he wants to tighten those laws and tighten the country up again. What Mexico has done all these years is wrong. It's wrong no matter which way you look at it and what country you look at. It's absolutely wrong having them come in the way they have. And it got so bad a few years back that these Mexican gangs have been holding towns on the borders there in Texas and these places hostage, killing sheriffs and stuff. My God.
Most of the people ended up getting killed are other
Mexicans. Sure, right. The sheriff's departments over there are saying, help us, we need help. This should not be happening. You know,
I've heard numbers, you know, this is maybe 8-10 years ago, that about 50,000 people a year died at the border down there. So what I was told was that it's basically a Vietnam War.
This is a war on the American borders.
Every year, yeah. Now they don't tell you that on the news.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and anybody that talks about the battle zone down there, they're dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, you know. But yet the mass graves and the bodies are there, you know.
Trump cutting them off will stop all of this. And I think that's what he's done. He hasn't tiptoed around this. We're going to do this. We might do that. Put a bloody wall there if you have to, you know.
Yep.
Bang. Iron curtain up. You're done. No more. And then, you know, they'll complain. It'll be bad for a while, but it'll go back. It'll go back to normal, you know, and you won't have that mess.
What I've heard is that the Mexican government model is – they can only take care of so many other people. So their model of government depends on exporting a certain amount of people to the U.S. every year.
Tough bananas. Your country, yeah. You look after it. Get your house in order.
Yep.
You know, get your house in order. Mexican government are corrupt to the core.
Yep, you know? Run by...
I'm sure they've got a lot of money. Yeah, get your house in order.
The usual suspects, yep.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Mexico has natural resources and, build your country there. You know, you don't have to come here.
No,
you know?
Got plenty of room. Get your house in order. Fix it up. You know, absolutely. Going into the U.S. now should be a pipe dream. They'll be talking about it soon in the future, you know. Remember those days? We used to go into the wall, man. You know, we used to go over the wall. We used to go through.
It was just easy. Yeah, see, well, before, you know, the book of Revelation described the children of Israel as the woman, you know, as a whore. Well, maybe our days of being a whore are coming to an end now.
That's right. Used and abused, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be that easy target that we've always been.
That's right. And that media spin needs to be smashed down and replaced, you know.
Yep.
This whole thing of being a racist and a bad people because you want to clean this up and stop this. Anyone would want to do that. Why is it only white countries that are bad people, and why is the racist word only labeled on white countries when they want to, you know, maintain their civil liberties and their freedoms and their dignity and their way of life and their actual identity? They suddenly, they're racist and bad people.
Yeah.
You know, and all these other countries do it. Israel builds a wall. Builds a wall to keep them out, but they're perfect.
Yeah. Israel just added 10 kilometers onto their wall.
Jesus, man. Right in front of the whole world. You're not coming in a wall. But
And another thing people don't talk about is Mexico's got a big wall on its southern border with Guatemala.
That's right.
The Central Americans want to flood into Mexico.
I found that down in Chile. I've been there a lot. In Chile, they don't want Peruvians and these people in that country. I actually was reading the papers there, where looking for apartments. It says no Peruvians. And you'll actually see some places where people eat, it says no Peruvians. And I was like, what the hell is this about? And I found out it's because they drink... and they get violent, and they get drunk, and they don't work so much. It's a more of a modern European country in Chile, and they say outright they don't want them there. If you're from a white European country, you can go straight in. They're very civil and nice, but they don't like those people coming into those countries because they take the jobs and they drink and they don't contribute, and they're not going to hide it down there. And that's what you said about Mexico. You know, they're going to have these people coming in. Every country's the same. They've got their way of life. They don't want other people coming in and leeching off their system and causing any kind of trouble. And well, you should be able to come out and say that.
They don't come here to assimilate. And really, they can't assimilate.
No.
We're different. We're built. We're different people.
That's right. It's totally different, you know. It's absolutely different.
Well, America's this great melting pot. Well... of white European peoples, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't work for non-whites. Okay, maybe my last point of the night would be: the United States is a white country. When it ceases to be white, it will cease to be a country. So, really, in my book, there's no such thing as an African American or a Mexican American, because none of those people built the country or were capable of building it. That if those people had just moved here without us, none of this would have happened.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Europe's a mixed bag. I think we have had a lot of Italians migrate here, throughout history and help build this country as well. And so that was always a good thing, and they're always good people. Even some of the Greeks and stuff, you know. I mean, they came from a part of Europe, but they were civil and they knew how to work and grow things, you know. In Australia in the old days, used to bulldoze all these olive groves, and the Italians came in with their families, generations of families, and took these olives over and made these oils and all the things that they do and contributed to building a good country. But as you said, these blacks coming from Somalia and these people, it's not going to work at all.
No, no, no.
But
no,
I think
no.
That's what makes Europe such a great place, isn't it? you know, because you've got these strong countries like Germany, and then you've got these countries like Spain or Italy, where they all have their unique cultural identities. And you can go there and travel to all these different countries and eat all this amazing food and see all these different incredible people. And all these countries just seem to work. But now they've flooded them with all these zombie invaders, and it's just brought the machine down to its knees.
I mean, how beautiful is, you know, Switzerland and Norway and Sweden?
The Mediterranean, the food, yeah, I mean, the culture, the identity, the family, the idea of family being so important, and all this way of life over there going on for so long in a perfect way. And it's just, look at it now. Look at it.
They just flushed it. Well, this was kind of foretold, but it's the pangs of the new world are upon us.
It's disgusting. So, it really is disgusting.
It this sucks, but it's not going to be like this forever, and things are going to be a whole lot better. And I guess what I would say is, you know, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, we're not too far off from it, you know.
Yeah. I hope so. I'm going to try, and I want to go to Europe, but, you know, be honest, I don't want to, you know.
I don't want to go there now.
I feel angry. I have Irish, our family's Irish, Scottish background, you know, and I want to go there. You know, I want to go there, and I hear it's bad in Ireland as well. You know, they're really stuck.
Ireland's
up there.
Flooded. Scotland's flooded.
It's just, God, it makes you angry because they up until a while ago have a pretty strong system there and quite a good governance. And then suddenly I watched Ireland just fall on its back.
Yeah, it's enough to piss you off right now, but it's going to turn around and we're going to be okay.
I can't imagine these Somalis and that sitting in Irish pubs having a Guinness.
Yeah, I know.
But that's what it's going to be, and they're going to look at you. What's this guy doing here?
I know. An Irishman, you think, okay, he was probably a farmer or a construction guy, and at the end of the day, he went over and had a pint of this or a shot of Irish whiskey. And that's not what a Somalian is going to do, you know. They don't go to the pub. And it's just as well. You know, the ones that do drink, you know, I've had encounters with them. Yeah, I had to bodily remove them. You know, my part-time job's at a liquor store.
They go schizo.
Yeah. I had to throw the one kid, was he like 6'2"? You know, I mean, they're kind of skinny, but they're wiry, you know.
Yeah. Oh, they drink. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah, not good. Yeah, this is not like drinking at the Irish pub. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, there's beauty in that, you know, in the old English and Irish pubs, you know, and the creation of these drinks and that whole atmosphere in the pub with the, you know.
But I mean, really, and I've talked about this before, but, you know, in order to you know, brew alcohol or whiskey or whatever, you have to grow grapes or grain or wheat.
Like Germany, very good at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Italy, grapes.
It's incredible.
France.
Yeah. Look at things like brandy distilling and what in the old times, the monks used to have these incredible brandies and liquors and things like that they've always had back in time. It's really
that's
a lot of skill and patience to get.
That's our people, man.
Yeah.
That's our people.
Yeah, very complex tastes and growing, you know, all the crops. I mean, just for beer alone, the malt, the barley, you know, the hops, you know, the hop extract, the water, you know, the getting the brewery right.
Nobody drinks micro beer from Somalia.
It's true.
If they came out with a beer, would anybody buy it? Of course not.
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah. But it's the culture that goes along with that as well that you see in these countries. And that's what's so beautiful about Europe and the cities, you know. You know, Czech Republic and all these places and these beautiful historic places where you can go and sit down and drink and eat. And what's that going to become of that, you know? Because I think that all of Europe should be very, very spooked at what's happening in France. I think we'll finish on that. I think that this is a warning.
This is a definite wake-up
Europe
call.
Needs to, European people need to band together and look at this and go, we're going to stop this because this has gone out of control.
Yeah,
the streets
are
being smashed and burned.
Yep. Yeah, the awakening has started.
It's chaos, it's almost like the end of the world has started there. It's really frightening.
It is the apocalypse.
It does seem like it. Yeah.
There's still time. Yep. We're here. It's here.
Jeepers creepers.
So stay tuned.
All right.
We're your apocalypse podcast leader here.
Apocalypse podcast. All right. Good to speak to you, and we'll catch up again as usual soon.
Okay, Adam.
Take care.
Have a good night.
All right.